worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Gospel of John, John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren, that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Verses 15 to 25, John chapter 21. Then looking in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and to the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city in that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to hear the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Verses 6 to 15. Acts chapter 16. Lord, we thank you for the power in your word. Thank you for the wisdom and the counsel that flows from your word. Thank you for the blessing that's ours as we simply open your word every day. And we have the honor and privilege of spending time one-on-one with you as you speak words of wisdom, words of power, words of grace, words of joy, words of strength into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Father, more and more empower us to be believers that daily live a lifestyle of simply following you, listening to you, and swimming in the river of your Holy Spirit daily, following your lead. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of being a part of your family, a part of your kingdom, a part of the work you've called us to as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to come to seek your presence right now. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would open our hearts to hear your voice, that you'd open our hearts to hear what you have to say. Heavenly Father, what is on your heart? What is it that you're wanting to do? What is it that you're moving in? And help us to join in your kingdom in like today. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for in that story with Jesus, how the love was so tangible, how he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Heavenly Father, call the church more and more to have a mindset of ministry, to be hands-on in loving our neighbors. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to continue to remind our listeners, we're encouraging you to pray much for our first pregnancy ministry banquet that will happen, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. Our first banquet happens August 26th, Tuesday, just a few days away. And if you'll pray for the Lord to mightily anoint the event and prosper it spiritually and financially, we would really, really appreciate your prayers. And the website is deltapchc.org if you want to learn more about the ministry. But again, deltapchc.org. But your prayers are very much appreciated. We're very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest. Once again, actually, we had Chad and Leslie Seagraves a few weeks ago when their daughter Jolie shared a speech. She was a part of our Ten Commandments project, did an outstanding job on her speech. And we had Dad and Mom, who were Chad and Leslie, a few weeks ago. But we're grateful to have them back again and for them to be able to share about the exciting work and ministry the Lord has called them to. So Chad and Leslie, how are you all today?
Doing well.
Doing great. Thank you for having us again.
Honored to have you back. And I'm going to ask if you all will take time to reintroduce yourselves to our listeners and tell them more. You briefly mentioned the ministry, the 1040 Connections. But today, of course, our goal is for you to have the chance to share about the great work and exciting work and mission behind that ministry. So if you'll further introduce yourselves to our listeners and then dive right in and tell them about the 1040 Connections ministry.
Yes, sir.
Sure. Yeah, so Chad and I, we have been married for 27 years, and we have four children. Jolie's our oldest, and we have Joy, who lives with Jesus. We miscarried her. Then we have Eden Samuel, a sophomore in high school, and then we have Phoebe, who is 11 years old, and she's adopted from China. We started a ministry 25 years ago called 1040 Connections, and the mission of that organization is to proclaim the gospel among the least reached people groups. And we do this by defending life and multiplying leaders in order to catalyze disciple-making movements. And I realize that's a lot of words, and so we'll break that down just a little bit more clearly for you.
So backing up, the organization is called 1040 Connections. And the 1040, you may have heard of the 1040 window. It's actually latitude lines that runs from 10 degrees latitude to 40 degrees latitude, runs across North Africa, Middle East, India, China. That area of the world has about half the world's population and about 90% of the world's unreached people groups, meaning they have limited access, limited freedom, limited opportunity to know Jesus. And so we work exclusively in the 1040 window. This is where the unreached people groups are located, or they're from those areas, and they've now come to our back door, actually, which is great to have people from those parts of the world coming into our cities in America. We can then reach them without having to go to places like Saudi Arabia or Nepal or China or wherever else they're from. So God's actually bringing the harvest to us, which actually is our heart as well. We want to reach the unreached people groups, but also we want to mobilize the Western church to live with God's heart for mission, whether you're a full-time missionary or whether you're working a regular job that's paying the bills. We all should have God's heart for the nations on our mind.
All righty. Well, as we begin, I want to ask if you'll specifically take time to pray for our listeners that they would be wide open to what the Lord wants to say to them in it. Because amongst other things, some of our listeners may very well be persons that the Lord is calling them to get involved with the spread of the gospel in other nations beyond our own. But then there are some who may be called to come alongside with their prayers and their finances, and others who may be called to specific missions, but whose heart just will simply be stirred today. So would each of you pray for our listeners that they would receive what the Lord has for them today?
Sure.
Yes.
Jesus, I just want to pray for everyone listening at this time. Jesus, I pray that you would break their hearts for what breaks your heart. And God, we see what breaks your heart when we see you on the cross, Jesus, that you died in order to bring redemption to every ethnic group, to every tribe, to every people, to every person we see on the streets. You died for them, Jesus. And Jesus, I just say thank you so much for the crucifixion and the resurrection, which is where our faith is found, God. And it gives us a hope because you answer the problem of both sin and death for all of the world, but the message needs to go out. And so, Jesus, I pray for every listener to be encouraged by the fact that, Jesus, you've answered their problem of sin and death, but that you then give them a purpose and a destiny to go and tell that message to other people. And so, Jesus, I pray that as people listen today, that they will be moved in their spirit by your Holy Spirit to care for the things that you care about, and it is for people. And I just pray that you will do a work in people's hearts today so that all of us will be your image bearers that are your message spreaders.
Jesus, I agree. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will guide the words today and that the words that come out will accomplish your purposes, would not return void, but would result in great harvest among the nations. God, let this time that we're on the radio right now inspire people to walk closely with you, to read the Bible and see your mission that's so evident from Genesis to Revelation, and to even hear your voice and know how they can be involved specifically in reaching the remaining people groups that have yet to have a relationship with you. God, we just thank you for the ministry of AFR and pray that you'll bless them and pray that those who are listening right now would tune their hearts and minds into your Holy Spirit frequency. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for a ministry like the 1040 Connections that is carrying out your work in so many wonderful places in different parts of the world. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you literally call every single believer to be a missionary. You have tasks and callings upon each of our lives, and we're called to listen to you and follow you and obey you. Help us to know that sometimes the missions may take us to the other side of the world, and sometimes it may take us down the street to minister to individuals in a nursing home or in a daycare or in other places where people need to hear the gospel. Lord, empower us to be mission-minded every day of our lives, knowing that in the economy of time, there's no time to waste. Help us to maximize our time and our productivity by living a life fully yielded to your wonderful Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, Chad and Leslie, as we start, I want to ask you this too, if you would. Can you share with us the journey about how the Lord led you to start a ministry like 1040 Connections? What led up to your starting the ministry itself?
Sure. This is fun. Yes. So I'll start. So when I was 8 years old, and don't be worried, I'm not going to tell you like year by year, but this is just some, I'm just going to highlight a few things. When I was 8 years old, people would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I would say a Bible smuggler. I was fascinated with the reality that there's people on the face of the earth who had not heard of Jesus, but also that they didn't have Bibles and that there were people that would take the Bible into them. When I was 12, I had begun to, my grandmother had given me how to read through the Bible in a year, and I had begun to do that. And so as a sixth grader, I began to just wake up in the morning and I would read through the Bible, didn't understand a lot of it. But one reality is that God speaks through his word, even when we don't understand. And I began to see over and over the nations and the burden that God had for the world and tribes and tongues and ethnic groups. And I began to just realize that this was God's heart. And so as a 12-year-old, I just went down front and said, I want to give my life to God's heart for the nations. And
Leslie, I'm going to jump in right here and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guests today are Chad and Leslie Seagraves, the leaders of the ministry 1040 Connections. We'll be right back.
you speak from heaven, we call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven, we call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven, we call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness, super amazing.
Music of Dunson Oyukan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Chad and Leslie Seagraves. They're the founders of the ministry 1040 Connections, a missions organization that reaches unreached people groups in the world. Leslie, if you'll dial back, if you kind of start off close to when you're 8 years old.
Yeah, so 8 years old, I would tell people I wanted to be a Bible smuggler. When I was in sixth grade, my grandmother gave me a little pamphlet about how to read the Bible in a year. I began to do that. And though I didn't understand many things, what I did recognize is that God had a heart for the nations. He had a heart for all peoples. So when I was in seventh grade, I simply decided to line my life up to God's dream that all nations would hear about him. And I told my pastor, and he said, oh, God's called Leslie to be a foreign missionary. And I thought, and she's prayed about this for a long time. And I thought, I've never prayed about it. And I never heard God say specifically, but I just knew that this was God's heart and that I was supposed to line myself up to his heart rather than him lining himself up to my heart. And so then later on, I began university and I began to go overseas and began to go specifically to the areas of the world where there's very large groups of unreached people groups, people with little to no opportunity to hear the gospel. And one night I was standing on a rooftop in Pakistan, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I was so burdened because I had not met any believers, and I had seen Shia Muslim, what that was doing and the festivals they were doing, and I won't go into the details of that, but I just recognized the darkness. And so on the rooftop, I told God, it's so dark here, I want to go back home where there's light. And then I was quiet, and then in my spirit, I just felt the Holy Spirit beginning to communicate with me. And I told the Lord, I said, I feel like there's a sharp, hot knife that's just digging its way through my heart because my heart is hurting so much for these people. They don't have access, and there's so many lost people. And then in my spirit, I sensed that God was communicating with me that what I was feeling was nothing like what he felt, but I was just catching a mere glimpse of the burden that Jesus felt for the people of this area of Pakistan. And then I felt a question come to my mind, and it was, will you share the burden with me? And I realized at that moment that this was the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who had always shared my burdens, but was reaching down to me as a friend and saying, hey, this is my burden. Will you step in and will you care for the things that I care about? And at that moment, I realized that as much as I wanted to be around light, that God was asking me a question, but not me specifically and only, but it was the question he's asking the bride of Christ. Will you share the burden that the groom has, that all nations will be brought into the body, the family of God? And so that was my journey, where I knew it kind of like a crisis of belief in some ways, where I was having a really hard summer where I was, but then I recognized that God's dream is bigger than any desire that I could or should have in my life. And by lining my life up to his dream, that's where abundant living would really begin.
Leslie, pray for what's on your heart now to pray for as it relates to the body of Christ.
Jesus, I just pray for the body of Christ, God. I just pray that we would care for the things that you care about. And Jesus, I'm just reminded, just even this morning as I was reading in Philippians, and it says that for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And God, I just pray that we as your body, that we would care for the things that you care about, that we would, our hearts would break for the things that break your heart. And I just pray that you would awaken the church, God, in so many areas of our country where we are so accustomed to having church and having access to the name of Jesus. Sometimes we take that for granted. And I just pray that you will awaken us and open our eyes up to the, what you're wanting us to be like and to be made in your image, which is a God that cares for the lost people of the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Chad, you're going to go ahead and share from your perspective as well.
I'll share briefly. So I became a Christian when I was 11 years old, grew up in a Christian home in Tennessee, and I was in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the door was open. I was part of Bible drill, so I learned to memorize scripture and look things up really fast, and I loved competition and sports and everything, so that was fun for me as a kid growing up there in Tennessee. And when I was a senior in high school, my parents thought it would be a good idea for me to go to Russia for the summer. And so I went over with not a Christian group, it was people-to-people youth science exchange. And I actually took 20 Bibles with me, stuck them in my suitcase and carried them over and gave them out as presents. And that was the first time I'd seen people who'd never seen a Bible. They thought a Bible was something you had to turn the pages with two hands. And I gave them a little pocket. You've seen the Gideon Bibles, a little pocket Bible like that. And the guys I was staying with, I went to sleep at 11:45. They were translating it. I woke up at 6:45 to go run, and they were translating it again. I don't know if they stayed up all night, but I saw what it was like to see people hungering for the Word of God who'd never seen anything like the Bible and had never read it. And so that was just an eye-opening experience for me. So after that experience in high school, I went to college in Nashville at Vanderbilt, and there I was able to meet lots of people who believed all kinds of different things. And while I was there, I was able to spend a summer in the Philippines and was able to share the gospel with a number of people. And I thought, hey, I must be really good. I get good fruit when I share the gospel. People accept Christ. I must be really good at this. Well, that was obviously not true, because after college, I spent 2 years in the Middle East. And in 2 years in the Middle East, I saw four people accept Christ. So I thought, maybe this is not me. Maybe it's the field that I'm sharing into. And so that's part of what God did in my heart was, during college, I was in the medical field track, and I was going to go to medical school. But I didn't have peace about it. And I called out to Jesus, are you calling me to be a missionary? And I listened, and I prayed, and I heard nothing. I said, okay, Jesus, I know in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, you want all people to know you and worship you, so I'm going to line my life up to that. And if you want me to do medical stuff in the future, you can make that happen. So I decided to go live in the Middle East for a couple of years and see what God opened up there. And that's how I spent a couple of years overseas and came back and met Leslie. We were both at seminary at that time. She was there a year before I was. And it took me about 2 weeks to know that this was the lady who was going to be my wife, and I proposed to her in Arabic at one point, and she did not understand it. So later, after about 8 weeks of knowing her, I proposed in English. She accepted, and after 6 months of knowing each other, we got married. So that was 27 years ago. So we've been running together since that time.
That's a neat story. Both of them neat stories and accounts. So soon after you were married, so it was 2 years after you married that you started the ministry. Was that a easy journey in view of the fact that both of you were mission-minded, or just the Lord laid it on your hearts together? Can you share about that?
Yeah, sure. So when we were beginning to pursue, after finishing seminary, we were trying to figure out what we were supposed to do. And people were pretty confused about what God seemed to be doing in our lives, because we had a passion for both living among the unreached in the 1040 window, but we also had a heart for the American church, and we wanted to see the American church really engage strategically in what God wanted to do among the least reached. And so a lot of people would say, well, you need to either, you know, be mission pastors of a church in America, or you need to go live as missionaries. And so finally, we just really sensed the Lord was saying, I want you to start a ministry as a 3-year vision. And the vision was to go live in 3 different countries of the 1040 window with 3 different religious blocks, Hindu, atheism, and Islam. And we felt like God wanted us to take with us on a journey churches in the United States that would partner with us. And so when we began our ministry, we started the ministry with almost no money, and but with 7 partners that were willing to take a risk on
people.
They were
people. Brave churches taking a risk on people
in their mid-20s. And we decided to start the organization as an interdenominational organization, as a prayer, as an answer to Jesus' prayer for unity. He had prayed for unity in John 17. And so we wanted to work with any church that wanted to connect strategically to what God wanted to do among the unreached peoples. And so it was, yes, a difficult journey, but it was also one filled with kind of stepping off and realizing that Jesus always catches you when you start walking in faith. He's always there to catch you. And it maybe doesn't catch you until right at the end, but he always catches and he always provides. And we just began our ministry with those 3 years. God did some really amazing things in those 3 years. And our partners, Asian partners internationally, they asked us to keep the organization going because we were working in such collaboration with them instead of just doing our mission that came from the American heart. Mm-hmm. We were collaborating and connecting with them in a way that made them want us to keep the ministry going. And so therefore, 27 years later, we're still doing 1040 Connections.
Mm-hmm. So 3 years stretched into 25 years.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of changed a little bit because when we started out, we had no money at all, no relationships, and we're calling 1040 Connections because God has got a connection. He wants to connect with each of us in personal relationships, and he also wants us to connect with his heart for the nations, and he also wants the body of Christ around the world to connect with interdependence on each other. So what we actually saw was the Great Commission was the Indians going to the other places, or the Chinese or the Middle Easterners going, having a heart for other unreached people groups. And so that was a great joy of ours to see the Great Commission being fulfilled by local believers in those places, because when they read Matthew 28, it's for them also, obviously. So this is our heart is to see the body of Christ captivated with the heart of God.
Well, I want to ask if each of you would specifically pray for the church to become so much more mission-minded. That means giving time, energy, and finances to really help address, obviously, missions, period, but especially reaching into the places where people have still never heard the gospel. Would you pray for that?
Sure. Jesus, we do just lift up the church. May we be captivated by your heart, God. May we understand your mind and your heart. May we understand how from Genesis to Revelation, you gave the mission to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. And that was the commission given in Genesis 1:28, and that's the same commission you gave in Matthew 28 to go make disciples, baptize, and teach with all authority because it's all yours, Jesus. We just pray that the church would be captivated by these truths and you'd show us how to complete the Great Commission and show us where the people groups remain that are yet to be included in your body of Christ. And I pray that the church in the West would understand the strategic opportunity they have, whether it's financially or reaching international students here or refugees here or reaching into unchurched or lesser church populations. God, I pray you give us a great sense of priorities and let us have a heart that beats with your heart. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus, you say in Matthew 24 that the gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed in all ethnic groups, and then the end will come. And so, Jesus, I just pray that every local church throughout the world, that we would recognize you have established the finish line, and you want the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, and that none of us have the right to say we're only called to impact things locally, and none of us can say we're only supposed to impact things globally. You've called us each to have impact locally and globally at the same time. And I just pray that churches will realize that there's ways that they can get involved and they will desire to. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chad and Leslie. On one of your videos on your website, you all told about you bought a fishnet. Can you tell us about the fishnet?
Yeah, that's a great story.
Love that. So we were actually in the northern part of India in Kashmir. That's a rough area right now. But so we were teaching, equipping some church planters up there in that area. So everything that we do at 1040 Connections combines the word of the gospel with the deed of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, and it leads to multiplying churches. That's the goal, disciple making movements. So as we're in that area of the world, that's probably 20 years ago, we were rowing across the lake because we were staying on a houseboat. And as we rowed across the lake to go to the training of the planters, we saw a guy fishing, and he had a net, and he was throwing it out there.
And we had been asked to teach on that section about unity.
Yep.
And so because we had been asked to teach about unity, we're always looking for object lessons. Jesus taught with objects often. And so while we were rowing, we saw this guy throw out this amazing net in the water, and Chad gets an idea.
He said, "I'll give you 20. How much will you sell that net to me for?" He said, "How much will you give me?" I said, "I'll give you $20. Over $20, we got this awesome net with weights on the end. It feels like little bullets on the end, like it's holding it down. And so it's not a fishing pole. So at 1040, we don't like to fish with a fishing pole, just one at a time. We like the net, which requires multiple people being involved in the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the illustration that all the people in...
I'm going to jump in right there, Chad, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guests today are Chad and Leslie Seagraves, the founders of the 1040 Connections, a missions organization that reaches into unreached people groups. We'll be right back.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
The music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Chad and Leslie Seagraves, the founders of 1040 Connections. And Chad and Leslie, before we get back to specifically, Chad, what you were sharing, if some of our listeners are wanting to learn more about 1040 Connections, how to get in touch with you, how to learn more about how to pray for you, how to give financially, tell them how they can do that.
Hey, thanks, Pastor Joseph. Yes, if you do want to be involved with 1040 Connections, the website is 1040connections with an S.org. That's 1040connections.org. If you want to email us, our email is candles, C-A-N-D-L-E-S, candles at 1040connections.org. And we have a monthly prayer letter that goes out, stories that go out all the time. And we'd love to see how God wants to partner with
with us, with you. So we welcome your partnership.
All righty. Well, Chad, you were sharing about the net. If you'll pick up kind of where you left off there, the fishnet.
Sure. So like I said, we were up in Kashmir about to give some equipping to disciple-making movement leaders, church planters. We just purchased a fishing net that's not a fishing line, but it's a fishing net that requires multiple people. We bought it for $20 and then gave the equipping on unity and mending the net because there was some disunity, there were some problems. And so we talked about how we could work together to bring in the harvest. And if we focus on each other, what happens? The fish get out. And so we want to bring the greatest harvest because we want to honor Jesus with that. And so we should work together and fulfill the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. So that's one of the focus of 1040 Connections. Our heart is disciple making movements by multiplying laborers. And so that's part of our vision. The other part is defending life. And Leslie had a couple things to say about that.
Yeah, so one of the ways that 1040 Connections does our work is it's impossible to just go into the 1040 window and to begin to preach because this is the area of the world where the highest rate of persecution take place. And a lot of times that's from families, but it's also from government and some of the places where we work. So usually what we do is we combine word and deed and we look for areas where there seems to be significant brokenness so that we can create platforms to enter into that brokenness, but then with a proclamation of Jesus. And one of the ways we do that is through defending life. As some of your listeners may know, 97% of all of the abortions in the world take place outside of the United States. And the statistics for 2023 is that there were 73 million babies that were killed in abortion. And if you compare those statistics to the numbers of deaths worldwide from all other causes, that was combined, like cancer or car accidents or, you know, pneumonia or whatever it is that people are dying from, that would be for 2023, 69 million deaths. So there were 4 million more deaths caused by abortion than there were for all other deaths combined globally. And so when we look at those statistics, we then break it down and find out how many of those abortions are happening in Asia, the specific area where we work. And we found that over 40% of the abortions globally were taking place in Asia. So we developed a curriculum called Voice for the Voiceless, which is about women's reproduction, baby development, and abortion. And then we weave the gospel through it. So through this seminar, there are Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, and people from Christian backgrounds that hear for the first time that life begins at conception and that there's value for both sons and daughters. Many areas in the 1040 window are greatly oppressive towards females. And so we have developed that. We have that in, I think, about 10 languages now. We have a maternity home in Nepal because of babies, moms choosing life for their babies but needing a place to stay. We're building a maternity home currently in Bangladesh. But one of the ways we're seeing is that by moving a message of life, because of the movement of abortion culturally in the world, we're able to promote the name of Jesus. And we've had Hindus, Muslims, atheists, and Buddhists come to Christ because of that. And just one recent story from Pakistan, we just heard as they did a Voice for the Voiceless training. And this young woman stood up at the end and was just weeping. And she said, "When I was born, I was a girl and my dad rejected me because I was a daughter. And that caused my mother to reject me in the sense that she just would make fun of me and she would talk about how she wishes I were another boy." And so she said, "My whole life, I have felt like I've had no value at all." And she said that today I just heard Voice for the Voiceless that value actually comes from a God named Jesus. And I feel hope for the first time today. And so this is just a story of that being, I mean, that's one story, but we have hundreds of those stories of using the defense of life to help people come to know Jesus.
Mm. That's powerful. That's very powerful. And as far as now, our time is almost gone here. Now, I want to ask if you all would share with our listeners, what are some fruitful ways you would like to ask our listeners to pray for 1040 Connections, ways that they really could be lifting you up with some of your unique challenges as a ministry?
Sure. We have a curriculum called Serving Shoulder to Shoulder. It's currently in 8 languages, and we're in the process with 10 more languages. So our translators need prayer. It's amazing. Once they translate it, they still have to put it into formatting. So some of the technical details, we need to find people who could do the translation, and then they have to be able to do it, which is difficult enough. And then they have to put it in the formatting. So just some logistical details of that, as well as issues of persecution and difficulty, because in some areas, the persecution happens from the community. It's the government leaves them alone, but it's the family or it's the local people who are opposed to people beginning to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we have a number of people who are having difficulties in that area. And also the maternity home in Bangladesh is being finished up this month, we hope, in August. So it should be finished very soon. And so far it's been going really well. But we just pray it'll finish up nicely, and then it'll be a wonderful resource for the ladies in that country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And also, of course, if there are persons that are wanting to give financially to support the ministry, they can find that information on your website?
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes. If they go to the website, they can indicate where they would like it to go, or they can just say where most needed.
Okay. Okay. Leslie, was there anything else you were going to share as well, prayer concerns that you'd invite people to pray for you all about?
Yeah, I think one of the prayer concerns we would have right now is just that God would just help us to be able to discern what is best against what is good. And so we really need the Holy Spirit, because there's so much need in that area of the world. But what we want to do is to be in step with the Spirit. So just really we need a lot of wisdom mm-hmm. to be able to discern the doors that God is asking us to go inside of. And there's just a lot of spiritual backlash and spiritual warfare that takes place, because what the two main ministries of 1040 Connections are areas that Satan absolutely hates, because Jesus absolutely loves them. And so there's just a lot of spiritual warfare that goes with a lot of the work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And also, if listeners are thinking they might would like to try to maybe travel with you somewhat, is that a possibility with the kind of ministry and work that 1040 Connections does?
Sometimes we do offer teams, and I would just say if someone is interested, please contact us with the email that Chad gave you earlier, candles@1040connections.org, and tell us what your passion is and what it is you're wanting to do. We work in collaboration with our Asian partners, and so everything we do, we make sure that it actually builds into the ministry in Asia and does not create more persecution for our partners. And so there are strategic ways that people can go, but we do it in collaboration with our Asian partners to make sure it's truly meeting a need, and it's going to enhance the work and not create more risks for the people that are there. But we love to see, we had 2 teams this past summer. They did an awesome job. They built into the ministries. And so there's always the opportunities.
All right. Okay. Well, our time's about gone. If each of you could share maybe about a 30-second prayer, specifically if you would pray for the church to do more to really inspire young people to go consider going into missions as well as adults, would you pray for that?
Mm-hmm. Jesus, we lift up the young generation, and we know that your heart for the nations is for every generation, for every nation. And I pray that pastors would preach sermons that inspire people, that young people would listen to radio broadcasts and songs and sermons and read scriptures and let their hearts be tuned in to the frequency of your mission. God, you speak it throughout the pages of scripture, Psalm 67, Revelation 7, 9, and 10, Revelation 5, 9, Genesis 12, 1, and 1 through 3. God, your mission is from Genesis to Revelation, and we just pray that you would raise up an entire army of believers who, with your heart beating in their chests.
And Jesus, I just want to pray a prayer that our 11-year-old just now had on her whiteboard in her room that I saw recently, and she wrote John 3:16, God made us special. And then she wrote, God's dream is everyone to be in heaven with him for eternity. And so God, I pray for young people, the younger generation, that they would recognize your dream, just as Phoebe wrote it on her board. And then she said, our dream is to make God's dream come true. And so God, I just pray for every listener, every believer in the United States and around the world to understand that we are redeemed to then work in partnership with you to see your dream come true, that all people groups will have access to your name and to the message that what you did on the cross and in your resurrection is for every person in the world, because you made us all special. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you for Chad and Leslie. Thank you for each of their children and how that you're using them as a missionary family to touch the world. Lord, use them more and more to stir, to be vessels through which your Spirit reaches, to set people on fire with a passion from your heart for carrying the gospel to the world that desperately needs to hear. Thank you. Use them more and more for your glory. Bless them indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day. A great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and fully commit your heart to Christ, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, I fully commit my heart and my life to you. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, now I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to be in touch with you. Let me mention once again my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch again. That email, joseph@afr.net. Chad and Leslie, thank you all so much for being with us. And one more time, share your website, please.
It's 1040connections.org.
All right. You all keep up the great work for the kingdom of God. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.